The president officially announces he's running for re-election.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The White House today put out a video announcing President Obama will seek re-election next year. The recorded message featuring Obama supporters didn't include the president himself, but the timing of the video release isn't just a coincidence either. It all has to do with, you guessed it, money. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
By filing papers with the Federal Election Commission today, the president can officially start fundraising for his reelection. That gives him the entire second quarter, April, May, and June, until his campaign has to tell anyone how much money they've raised. They're going for maximum sticker shock. I called up Tony Corrado. He's a campaign finance expert at Colby College in Maine.
But the money that you raise is itself an ad.
That's correct, especially in the year before the election. Fundraising is one of the main metrics that are used to assess a candidate's strength.
President Obama raised $750 million in 2008. Now Corrado and others are talking about this being the first billion-dollar campaign. That means meetings with big-ticket donors and also lots of Facebook and Twitter campaigns to reach out to small donors.
The technology in 2012 is even more powerful than it was, and I expect that they are going to make that again a central focus of their campaign.
Because in the war of campaign war chests, it's not just about how much money you raise, but who's writing the checks. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Best Buy, TiVo, Walgreens, now joining the ranks of other big retailers and service companies affected by a massive data breach at an online direct advertiser. JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, and Kroger came out over the weekend to say their customer information, mainly names and emails, was lifted from the company called Epsilon. Ted Julian is a principal analyst at the Yankee Group, and he's with us live from Boston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Now, these are a lot of high-profile companies on the list. How big could this get?
It's a dynamic situation. We're up to over 30 firms that are customers of Epsilon that have disclosed to customers that they may have been impacted. And if you just look at some of the brands that you walk through, it's clear that there's the potential for tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of individuals to have had their emails compromised.
Why would a company such as, Chase or Walgreens, Best Buy, why would they contract promotional emails out to Epsilon? What exactly does Epsilon do?
It's their business to do this and do it well. So there's a couple factors at play. And
Do what, though? What do they do?
They help large firms do email marketing and do that very effectively with lots of analytics so they can back up who they're targeting and how effective those campaigns are.
Yeah, okay. Because there are so many companies involved, you said 30-plus, and because we see this kind of thing going on all over the place, should we be concerned about this? Like really worried?
What makes this a little interesting is that the bad guys seemingly will be able to correlate the email addresses with the brands that the customer recognizes. And so it's not just a generic spam message, but it could be one that's designed to appear that it comes from any of the vendors on this list, and they could try to compromise the trust that you have in that brand. And for this reason, consumers really should be quite careful about going through their email, even more carefully than usual.
Good advice.
To look for these fraudulent messages.
Ted Julian from the Yankee Group, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank
you. Right. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, anywhere from, a tenth of a percent for the NASDAQ. The Dow is up now just under a quarter of a percent, 19 points, at 12,396. McDonald's said today it's going to hire as many as 50,000 workers and will hold a job fair on April 19th to make that happen.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
Today, blogger Andrew Sullivan leaves The Atlantic magazine to join the Daily Beast website. Sullivan gained quite a following over the years and joins the ranks of bloggers who have created communities and at the same time made themselves commodities. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Two beagles, Dusty and Eddie, guard Andrew Sullivan's loft. It's spacious, but he feels more comfortable in his blog cave behind a velvet curtain.
It's a narrow room. It's got slate floor, got two big windows and an old mission chair covered in rugs.
Every morning, Sullivan downs coffee and ginger snaps as he wades into the web.
The belief is that everything that needs to be said now has already been said somewhere. We just have to find it.
And, he says, create a community conversation about it. Today, he moves that community to the Daily Beast. It's paying him handsomely to bring in new visitors and online ad revenue. Edward Felsenthal is the Beast's executive editor.
It's not just about adding numbers to the Beast's readership, although we're glad for that. It's about adding repeat visitors and engaged visitors and smart visitors.
The kind Fortune 500 companies love. College-educated, well-off readers who spend a lot of time on one site, if statistics from the Atlantic's ad department are any indication. Almost 5 years ago, The Atlantic was an old magazine looking for online readers when editor James Bennett brought Sullivan on board. Today, he says he's sad to see Sullivan go.
He's got a much bigger audience. We've got a much bigger audience. This has worked really well for all of us, and we're all going to be fine, and we're all going to be friends, and you know, we're all going to stay in the same fight to keep doing great journalism.
By the time Sullivan left, one in every five visitors to theatlantic.com read his blog. Last year, that helped the magazine sell more than $6 million worth of online ads and turn a profit for the first time in at least a decade. Now, the Daily Beast gets to capitalize on Sullivan.
I love the idea of the possibility of individual writers, unknown writers, slowly building readerships through this chaotic world of the web, then finding a point, a tipping point,
where a media company realizes they're worth something. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
By the way, we've got our own communities going on at our website, marketplace.org. You can catch the webcast while you're there, our podcast, and download it there, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A lot of businesses are converting to clean energy because, you know, it's good for the planet, but it's a pretty sweet deal for them, too.
As the price of traditional power increases, our prices generally stay flat.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Going green to save some green. We'll have the numbers and the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.